Hi, my beautiful people. This is Bimi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 18. I am so excited about this fast, y'all. Everything is coming together exactly the way it needs to come together. And I can't even begin to tell you how proud I am of you, how excited I am for you, and how grateful I am that we are on this journey together. If you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being a part of the tribe. Thank you so much for being connected, and remaining intertwined with the vision and staying steadfast in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives and everything that we're growing through. I don't know how you found me. I don't know how you heard about me, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. This is a sacred space. I can't wait to continue on this journey with you. If you have not followed the Dallas Hope Dealer page on Instagram, please do, because pretty soon this week I will be making that page private. It is currently public, but I'll be making it private so that I can share and I can talk and we can all engage in a very sacred space. I do have a public page that is verified at I am Bimi Shavery. You can follow that page as well. That is open to everyone. This particular Dallas Hope Dealer page is a page I have followers on already, but I haven't really figured out what I wanted to do with it until now. I know exactly what it is that I am wanting to do. So if you're interested, please go and listen to that or sign up on that particular page and become an official part of the tribe as well. Subscribe to the podcast. If you're here, you're here for a reason. If you've already been a subscriber, thank you guys so very much for being here. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. You have been along this journey. We're going on almost 6 years. I'm so grateful. I'm so excited. And I could not do this without your support. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, we're going to get right into what it is that I am wanting to discuss with us today. Guys, I'm so proud of you. I just want to say that I'm just so proud of you. This journey has been one that is extremely strategically challenging in many ways because it requires a piece of us that we may not be comfortable with, right? That it exposes different pieces of us. We have to be vulnerable. We have to be present. We have to do our prayer. We have to do our fasting. We have to be dedicated to the process despite what everything may look like, right? And that requires a lot of diligence on our end. It requires a lot of us being present and believing and trusting and hoping and knowing that everything is going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. But we do have to do our part. One of the main things that I felt was so beautiful along this journey is that I set out for it to be from the 7th until the 22nd. Well, here we are. And God is like, no, keep going, which he does this to me each fast. And so I don't even know why I try to set a time, but it's the original time that I feel like I'm given. But I'm being obedient. So we are continuing on this path, 3:33 on the timer. I want to say to you guys that this is a very important time because there's so many things happening. And I'm sure by now you experienced a shift. I'm sure by now you've experienced a lot of different waves of things that have been going on in your life when it comes to everything that you've worked so hard for. It could be career. It could be your relationships. It can be health. It could be friends. It could be your mindset, beliefs. It could be habits and processes that you yourself have set almost in a way to create a routine. And now you're in this space where things are looking a bit different because things are shifting, things are changing. And so one of the things I want to remind you of is along this journey and as we're on this path, there are times where it is a bit confusing. We don't have all the answers. We're not supposed to. That's why we're supposed to have faith and trust and believe and continue to move forward. But I want you guys to understand the depth of what it is that we are traveling through. This particular year as a whole, which I am going to be releasing that episode soon, But you know, the new year for me doesn't start until spring. So we have some time, but there's an energy that is surrounding this year that is all about progression. It is all about the exalting above whatever it is that you've had to go through and grow through, and all of the stories of your past and the things that you have allowed yourself to become and embody. And there's a different type of strength that you will be meeting in this season. There's a lot of things. We're still in that redemption year, right? We're still closing out things from 2023. And so this is the closing off of a lot of things that we may have wanted to become a part of our solid foundation, but it doesn't fit in the ultimate plan. And so when we are trusting in God and we're knowing that God is literally ordaining us during this season. He's putting us in place. He's putting us in position. We're doing what it is that we're needing to do in order to move forward. It can become a bit isolating. It can feel cold. It can feel like you are just in the wilderness and you have no direction. But the most beautiful part about it is when you build this sense of knowing within yourself, it doesn't matter how crazy it looks. It doesn't matter how sporadic it may feel. It doesn't even matter how unorthodox it is. It matters that you're following along the path that God has set you on. It's a mission. It's an assignment. You must continue on the path. Now, oftentimes we speak about that we're supposed to just be trusting God. God has the ultimate say of how we move and where we go and what we do. And we're supposed to just trust and move, trust and go, trust and go. And no matter what it is, God is going to fight our battles. No matter what it is, no weapon formed will prosper. And y'all know that is my mantra for this entire thing. You know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, not because the weapon is not powerful, but because of who it is aimed at, right? So when we know that and we embody that, we understand that that also has a different connotation to it. It's a different type of strength that you have and you embody, because along the journey, it's not saying that you do not get tested. It will not say that your faith will not be tested. It is not saying that weapons will not form. It is not saying that they won't be aimed. It is not saying that they will not actually be shot or let out, or arrows will not be moved into your direction. What it means is that it cannot penetrate and destroy what God has sent, right? God has sent you somewhere. God has you on a mission. God has you purposefully placed where you are, and whatever it is that you are facing or he's assigning you to face, okay, cannot destroy you. It will not overcome you. Now, that sounds wonderful when you are not in the circumstances that cause you to have to actually face that of which you are having to grow through, right? Now, it doesn't feel so good when you're reminded right in the forefront. You're facing that thing that you may fear the most. You're facing that thing that statistically says you really shouldn't even try to conquer, or it just looks like it's just a mismatch, right? But you still are on an assignment. You still have a mission to complete, and you cannot stop where you are. That means you must go through whatever it is that you are facing. So today I want to speak about the reality of sometimes, okay, sometimes along the journey of your purpose, a part of your assignment is to fight back. Listen, I could just end the podcast right there. I can end the episode right there. Listen to me, okay? That right there came to me as I was getting up. I'm waking up and I'm like, I was really tied to the story of David, okay? And tied to his, specifically the fight, the war, the battle against Goliath. Okay. Now, not in the sense of, oh my God, you know, David just conquered Goliath. Yes, but the magnitude of what it took, the magnitude of actually facing and being in the face of what was deemed the biggest, strongest, most powerful of the enemies, right? And going up against this giant, unprepared, unskilled, no weaponry that can actually, on the physical sense, defeat this giant, but you do it anyway. That's a different type of faith. That's a different type of courage. That's a different type of bravery that you have to have. And so I want you to ask yourself, what is it that you have been assigned to that is requiring you to fight back? Now, this can be in a multitude of things. This can be in your career. You've had to fight back against statistically not being placed in an environment that is conducive to the growth and the flourishing of your skill set. It could also be placed in positions where God has elevated you. He has placed you in leadership. He has placed you in a position that nobody that looks like you, talks like you, comes from where you are from, has been and will be. And now you're there. And so you're fighting all kinds of attacks, and you have to fight them with a brave face. You have to fight them with courage, even against those that may look like you, that you are actually leading and you are actually supporting and you are fighting for. Sometimes you may feel like on the mission, on the assignment that you're on, that you're fighting against those that you're trying to free from captivity. You're trying to assist with the broadening of the mind. You're trying to persist and push through the different things that they're not privy to, the different things they can't see, because you have been gifted with the sight, with the insight of, and you've been placed strategically in a place to fight these battles so that they don't have to. But sometimes you come up against the same ones you're trying to release from the oppression. Okay. And not in just a term of cultural. We're speaking about classism. We're speaking about racism. We're talking about bigotry. We're speaking about societally, you just aren't in a space where you should be able to help. You are literally placed here to bring awareness to the things that people hide behind. And I'm just going to speak briefly. I've been recently in that situation where God has elevated me. He's placed me here. My heart was intended purely. I'm put in this position, but I'm having to fight against things that make the very ones that I'm fighting for feel safe. Even though behind those smiles, behind those doors, behind those agendas or deceit, it's literally looking the enemies in the face and showing up, fighting for, having the courage to stand for in the midst of adversity, behind their backs, in their face, fighting for them, making progress, doing the good things, only to be up against them in a war that you didn't even create, right? But this is the beautiful part about being on a mission with God. It's you're on a mission for God. God has sent you somewhere. He's placed you in this space, and he's placed you in this space for a particular reason. Now, even though you're having to fight back, and that fight back can look different for everybody. Sometimes it's fighting back against slander. It's fighting back against defamation. Sometimes it's fighting back against the ideologies. It's fighting back against the war that the enemy is trying to place on you and within you, when it comes to yourself and your own capabilities and your own worthiness, right? And it's utilizing all of that as ammunition to fight back. Now, how you fight back is also a big thing. Sometimes fighting back doesn't require you to speak. It requires action. It requires diligence. It requires sometimes praying and fasting. It requires summoning God in a way like, God, where are you? Can you show up? It sometimes knows that you won't speak out against things. Sometimes it's speaking up for yourself, and not just in a corporate atmosphere. Sometimes it is relationships with friends, it's communities, it's all of these things. How you fight back matters as well, but also significantly, fighting back is what actually is the key. And sometimes we get on this path and we feel like, you know what, God did not want, God gonna fight my battles, he gonna got it. Yeah, he do. He does have it. But sometimes he wants also to raise, in order to raise you up above those of which they come against you. Because again, he sent you. So they're not just coming up against you, they're coming up against God. So when they're coming up against God, God has a point to prove, right? You cannot destroy, you cannot remove, you cannot cancel, you cannot do anything to that of which God has his hands on. And coming up against it in any way that's foul or malicious turns him into another version, right? But you have to be obedient, even when you look outnumbered. When we look at David, let's think about the story. Right. David in text, we're speaking about someone who is smaller. David is unskilled. He literally is the youngest of eight. That's eight kids total. Right. But he is the youngest. He's the baby. OK. And he's sent to feed the soldiers in the army. And the army was created and sent there by God. Okay. The army was created to go and fight against Goliath. Okay. And all of their soldiers. So there is a standoff. And David, who already is after God's heart. He already knows what God will do, because God has already done so many things for him. God has already helped him defeat lions and bears, right? He has already shown himself to David. So David believes full-fledged, wholeheartedly in who God is and what God's capabilities are. So he is fearlessly and in so many ways naive with everything that's happening when it comes to the possibilities of he may not be able to defeat something. He doesn't think like that. He's not thinking, oh, I won't be able to, because he knows who he is. He knows that God is with him. He knows that God has favored him, as God has said in Acts 13 and 22, he said, when Saul was looking for a king, they're having discussions about kings, right? They're needing to appoint a king. Everyone that is being placed on a pedestal, God is like, no, I want David, because he is a man after my own heart. So the beautiful thing about this story is that David, while unequipped, unskilled, the youngest, the smallest, literally just a shepherd boy, okay? While he looks like he should not be in the position to be a king, he doesn't even look like he has the capabilities to defeat the biggest of the biggest giants. But God saw something in him early on, before this, that proved he is. So imagine being placed in positions, being placed in communities, being placed in relationships and tiers, and growing and evolving and doing and being able to achieve all of these things. Imagine doing that. And you got all these onlookers looking like, who, what, why? Why are we choosing this again? Why did you choose this person again? What was the reason? Why do you think they can defeat us? Well, when David shows up, he doesn't do so intentionally. He does so being obedient as far as going to serve lunch to the soldiers, because there's a war going on. There's a standoff. There's a battle. His only duty is to feed them. He is obedient, but he overhears what's happening. Okay. He overhears the conversations. He overhears the threat, right? He overhears this. Now, when we look in Samuel, okay. Well, before I get to the verse, I want you to understand that all David had to defeat Goliath was 4 stones and a sting. Now, this is a war. You already small. You already don't have, you know, enough equipment to defeat the army. The soldiers are afraid of Goliath. They're afraid. And it's many of them. It's one of you. Do you understand the type of faith? Do you understand the type of fervor? Do you understand the type of courage you have to be willing to go against any beast in the name of God? Not because they're, but because God sent them there. God sent those soldiers there. In David's mind, it's God sent the soldiers here, but now the soldiers that God sent are afraid of the beast, the giant that they're supposed to be conquering. And now no one's stepping up to the plate to do God's work. That's how David is thinking, because again, remember, he is so deeply intertwined with God, what God wants for him, what God, you know, has assigned him to do. He wants to do anything to please God, because God has already saved him. God has already protected him. God has already shown up for him in the lion's den. So David at this point has no inhibitions. He's not afraid, even though physically looking at him, he should be, but he isn't. That's heart. That is what God means when he says he looks at your heart, not how nice you are, not how kind you are. That matters too. But heart is heart. How deep in the dungeon are you willing to go to fight for what I'm sending you after? Right? It's how much do you want that relationship? How much do you care about your children? How much do you care about your name and your career and all of that? How much do you care about that thing you know I've said I'm blessing you with? Because God gave those soldiers instructions, and he also told them once they defeat the Israelites or the Goliath and his army, once they defeat that, what they would get. But none of that mattered when they faced the beast they were sent to conquer. So heart is, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it may feel like, I'm pretty sure somewhere in David's soul, he was a bit shaking a little bit, because it looks unmatched completely. And you already know that the soldiers that are there don't have your back because they are afraid. So you sitting here and you're having to go against the beast to defend not the soldiers, but God's name, because God sent them there. That's a different type of courage. That's, you can't take me off of my path because God has sent me here. God sent me here so you can't destroy me. God got my back. He's with me. I can defeat anything. I can do anything because he's with me. You can't tell me I'm going to lose nothing because God is with me. He gave it to me. So how can you take what God gave me? I got to fight for that thing. Sometimes fighting for it is fighting yourself, fighting your thoughts, getting out of your own head, getting out of your own fear, getting out of the limitations you set on yourself, no matter what the situation may look like, conquering that thing, because you know that that is what God has sent you to do. So David is now in this space where David is having to fight this giant. Okay. Now, how was he even assigned this mission? How was David even assigned after God chose him, right? After God has anointed him and appointed him to be king, how did this happen? Right? Well, because God already knows David's heart. And everybody that God was being sent to God to be able to appoint them. Because at this time, Samuel is not king. Saul is no longer king because Saul went against God's orders. So because Saul went against God's orders, he led the army astray. He defiled what God sent for him to do. You're no longer king. Okay. You're no longer king. Now God is instructing Samuel to bring him someone else to appoint as king. Samuel is needing to appoint a new king. But everyone that they're sending to Samuel, and Samuel is asking God's approval, God is like, no. And the reason being is because in 1 Samuel, when 1 Samuel 14 and 7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse, who is David's dad, okay, and he has seven other sons. Then Jesse called and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then said, then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. So Jesse has seven other sons, and all of them God said no to. Now, physically, they may have been appearing as though they could do the job. They are equipped. They are skilled. They are trained, right? But God is like, no, their heart. I don't see it in their heart. They are not the one because of their heart. So then he asks Jesse, are these all of the sons that you have? Jesse says, there is still the youngest, but he is tending to the sheep. He's a shepherd boy. He's working. He's in the field, right? He is not a soldier. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy with fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He's the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. David is now appointed to be king. Okay. So on verse 17, it says, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. Because at this point, Saul has God's evil spirit, right, is tormenting Saul because of his disobedience, right? He is tormenting him. And the only way to ease the torment is to get someone that plays the harp. So Saul's attendants say to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you and you will feel better. So Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine looking man, and the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So Jesse took a donkey load with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul. He entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service for 1 day. For I am pleased with him. Whenever the spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better and the evil spirit would leave him. Now, this is where you know favor. Okay. God has given favor. He's given the smallest. He has given the youngest, the one who appears to be ill-equipped, the one who appears to not have everything that they're needing, right? He doesn't have it all. He doesn't have what it looks like can defeat what they're needing. However, God saw his heart. And because God knows his heart, because God has blessed him, he is now able to go in that very space where the many soldiers stand and are afraid, but he's going first as a servant. Okay? He's not going in as king. He's going in first with the intentions to be a servant, meaning I'm easing this man's torment. I'm easing this, even though you've defiled God, you're still covered, but God is disciplining you, okay, for your actions. And because God is with me and I am blessed and I'm covered, I'm sent where you are because no evil spirit can take over me. Nothing can defeat me because God is with me. But I'm coming in where you are, playing the harp that's going to ease God's spirit over you that's tormenting you. Okay. And I'm going to feed the soldiers. Now, mind you, this is still a battle. We're still in the middle of this war. So it doesn't seem likely that he will survive. He's not prepared. If anything, it's a distraction, right? No, because in chapter 17, well, in 1 Samuel 17, it speaks about how Goliath, who was viewed as the champion, who was with Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves. So he's ready for war. He got his armor on. He got his battle ready. He's battle fit ready. And he already big. Okay. So then Goliath says to the ranks of Israel, who do you come out and line up for battle? Why do you come out and line up for battle? Okay. Am I not a Philistine? As if I'm more powerful. How dare you? How dare you come and try to defeat me? How dare you come and try to fight me? Okay. And are you not the servants of Saul? So because they work for Saul, because they are working for the enemy, it's like you already are out of the favor of God. And Goliath knows this. You're already out of the favor of God, but you're going to come and try to defeat me. He ain't protecting you. You're not even covered. Not knowing God is sending help. Okay. God is sending help in the most unlikely way. So here we are. Okay. God is doing what God does, working behind the scenes. David is getting himself ready because he's on assignment. Okay. And Goliath says, choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified because they know now it's on. They know now it's on and they're not equipped. This is an example of cash, writing a check that you cannot cash. Okay. That's the PG version, but you writing a check that you know you can't cash because you don't have what it takes to defeat this particular beast. However, you ready to go up against it, not because you're doing it in God's name, not because you know God got you, but you know you're out of the favor of God. You're doing it for ego. You're doing it for your own good. You're doing it because you got something to prove, but you know you're not capable. However, you say it and now you're scared. Okay? No heart. So then David, who's a son of Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. I already told you guys that. He followed them to war. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now, Jesse said to his son, David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers. This is where he is sending David into the camp where they are to feed them because they need strength. They have no material resources. They're needing help. So he's sending David, who is, by the way, favored and covered by God. God is with him. He's chosen, sending him to feed them. Okay. So see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance. So he's sending David into this space that is completely battle ready. Okay. And wants him to report back what's going on. Bring him back. Bring me back what's going on. There was Saul and the men of Israel in the valley fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, sent out, he goes. Okay. As David was talking with them, the soldiers, Goliath stepped out from the lines and showed his usual defiance, and David heard him. So the difference between Goliath addressing the soldiers before is that David wasn't there. Now David is there. David is ready to serve, okay, in any capacity needed. He's following instructions. He's following orders. He shows up, okay? So David shows up. He hears Goliath taunting, saying whatever he's saying. So when he also noticed that the Israelites, when they finished saying whatever they were saying, okay, when David heard it, he saw the Israelites, they saw him, and they ran away from David. Now, why would David, no, they didn't run away from David. They ran away from Goliath. So David is hearing the taunting. He's watching this happen, but he's also watching how the soldiers respond to Goliath, meaning Goliath is saying to them, whatever he's saying to them, you know, battle ready, ready for war. The soldiers are standing, confronting, but when they see him, they run. Okay. So now the Israelites are saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. So now he's sent on assignment. And then it goes into the battle, the fight, etc., and so on. And so this is just a reminder to you that you've already been equipped. When you know you've already been equipped with everything you need and everything you are supposed to have, when you already know this, right, you don't fear whatever giant, whatever beast, whatever it is that you are up against, because you are equipped, you are ready. You have to fight against everything that's coming against you in the path, because God has already sent you there. So whatever it is that you are in your space, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're growing through, whatever it is that you are having to encounter, you're having to fight against, because God has sent you there. Not because God doesn't want to help you, or he doesn't want to take care of you, or he doesn't want to make sure that you are covered, protected, and have the resources, but because sometimes God is not testing you intentionally, but you're put to a test because you're having to defend the honor of what you know is the assignment. And if my assignment is to serve, if my assignment is to go into this place and be a blessing, my assignment is to go into this relationship and help heal and to help nurture and protect and do whatever it is I'm supposed to do. If I'm supposed to go into this community and do this, if I'm supposed to be in this, you know, if I'm supposed to be elevated in this space within my own growth to be able to accomplish whatever, I have to be in the space where I have to know that I'm going to come against things that are going to force me to have to push through it. And then sometimes pushing through it requires you to fight back. You have to fight against the army. Now, that doesn't mean that the fight is, it doesn't even have to be a real vicious fight. It doesn't even have to be a fight that is causing you to have to be a long, drawn out circumstance. But you have to have enough heart to stand up against whatever it is that you are having to fight up against, because that is a part of the assignment. When we understand that not every path we're on is going to be easy breezy, just flow through, it also means that we are aware that regardless to what it is we've had to fight through, whatever adversity we've had to fight through, whatever deceptive things we've had to fight through, we're not doing so alone. We're doing so with also God's approval, with God's love, with His fervor, with His power, because He's already put it in us. He's already chosen us on this path. He didn't choose us on this path for us to fight alone. He didn't ask us to show up to a fight ill-equipped. We may physically look like we are not equipped. We may physically look like we're not prepared. We may physically look like we should not be in this space at all. But when God sends you somewhere, He equips you with something that can't be seen by the naked eye, which is your superpower. So you may have to speak against certain things. You may have to speak up against certain things. You may have to put a lot of initiative and actually be in action to actually defeat that of which you come up against. But the reward after you do makes everything worth it. When God is speaking your name in spaces that you didn't even know existed, not people, but God is speaking your name. When Samuel is looking for a king, okay? God already knew what He was looking for. God already knew what He wanted. Someone after His heart. God is not meek. God is not weak. God is not timid. Yes, He's kind. Yes, He's loving. But He also got a lot of fight in Him. He has a deep wrath within Him. So just as much love is lying up in there, so is the power to destroy. And when you understand that is what's behind you, and that's what's holding you, and that's what's got your back, you don't fear whatever giant you're coming up across. And that is the energy. That is the message for today. Making sure that you know that sometimes on the journey, you will have to fight. So whatever it is that you're waiting on coming through, perhaps the holdup is that you're not standing up for yourself. Perhaps the holdup is you are not defending the honor of the assignment. It isn't about honoring you. It isn't about you being ego driven. It is about you saying, you know what? I'm sent here. I was sent here on purpose. God has me. He had me covered. God has an intent for me. God has an assignment for me. And I don't care what it is I got to come up against. I am going to conquer it. I'm going to fight it, even if I lose. Because in your obedience is where you are blessed. In your obedience is where the rewards come. The reward is always greater when you're on assignment and being obedient and disciplined in where God is sending you. So don't fight it. Don't fight what it is that God is asking of you. Don't fight whatever it is that God is saying He needs of you. If you're facing conflict and it requires a certain level of fight in you, that may be a part of the assignment. So definitely sit with God and ask. Sit with God and try to find out what it is that He's sending you to do, because there is a mission. There is a purpose. There is something that you are assigned to do that may feel uncomfortable. You may feel ill-equipped. You may feel like you don't have what it takes, but that is a part of the journey. Okay? So that's the daily devotion. I don't have to read anything else. I've read enough of the scriptures in the Bible. This is where you're going to do your studying. You're going to go into 1 Samuel and you read it and you read up the back history and you understand why it was such a powerful story. It wasn't just that a little David defeated Goliath. It was everything he was up against. It was not just the fact that David didn't have any weapons. It was the fact that his heart was what God trusted the most. Because David had a very interesting journey even after God's favor, but God still loved him. God still chose him. God still favored him, even when David fell short of what he knew God wanted for him. That shows the human aspect. But when it comes down to fighting and it comes down to standing for, and it comes down to actually standing in the power of knowing that God is who God is for you, there's no fear there. And that's where David stood out. So a part of your journey right now, a part of your whole purpose right now could very well be that you're needing to fight back. You're needing to fight back. But you have to figure out how you're supposed to fight back. Maybe fighting back is choosing another job. Maybe fighting back is deciding to walk away in a relationship. Maybe fighting back is standing up to your children. Maybe fighting back is deciding that you're going to fight back for your health. You're going to not accept what anyone says is good for you. You're going to choose what's best for you based on what you know God has sent you to do. There is nothing but blessings at the end of the fight. So you must continue. You can't give up. You can't give up on yourself. But most importantly, you're fighting not for you, not for your name, not for your ego, not because you don't want people to look at you crazy, because David was looked at all kind of ways for the way he served God. But it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, that's the most powerful. He's the most high. So how can I be ashamed of doing whatever I need to do to be in, to please him? I owe him everything. And that's how David felt. He owed him everything. So this is why you're on this path and it's on this journey. It's something here to teach you. And I want you to stand tall in that. Know that sometimes a part of the journey is going to require you to fight back. And that fight back requires you to stand tall in the face of what looks like is easily a loss for you. Because it ain't. It's an easy win if you're obedient. Okay. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. This is a longer episode. I do not regret it, but it wasn't my intention, but I hope that it blessed you. I hope that it dives you deeper into what it is that God has for you and where it is that he is leading you on this journey. And so many breakthroughs and so many blessings that are here. There's absolutely no way for us to sum this all up in just one episode. But I want you guys to know that you are literally chosen. And so there's no way you can fail. Okay. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for all of your love and your support. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself and be gentle with others. Bye.